You're an ice cream cone. You're a lollipop. You're a baby chick. You're a pogo stick. You're a magic trick. You're a spinning top. You're special.
Well, let's wrap up Our Small World with the final sections of the book. Hopefully you've had a chance to take a listen to the previous two podcasts, which cover the beginnings of the book and the middle section as well. So you've likely at this point heard about Daniel Striped Tiger. You've heard about King Friday, as well as some other stuff in there that's pretty interesting to listen to. This final section of the book that I'll cover today, I'm going to skim through the section in the middle that's actually found in the middle of the book, and really focus most of this podcast on the section written by Lady Elaine Fairchild. The section in the middle of the book is actually a play for children to perform called It's a Small World. And from what I understand, this was a segment of the Children's Corner television show called It's a Small World. And a lot of the characters from that section of the show are featured in the middle section of this book with pictures of them and descriptions on how children can make costumes of their own at home to represent these different characters in the play. And if you look through, I've included a scan of these pages on this blog post to go along with the podcast. If you want to take a look at that, you're welcome to. You'll see characters on there like Grandma Phone, Fufu. You'll recognize Hisher Boop Trunk in there. And then on the third page, there's a mention of a few characters that don't quite make it into the play. But the middle one I thought was quite interesting, McFeely Punk. Which apparently is this monkey-looking character from the section of the show. So I won't get into the actual play itself. I really don't want to read all of the different parts of the play myself, and I definitely didn't feel that it would be well-received, I guess, to call 8 or 9 of my friends to come over and act out this play for this recording. So I'll just skim through this section and let you know that there is a play in the middle of this book called It's a Small World. We'll jump forward about 10 pages or so through the play, and we'll get to a section called The Life and Times of a Professional Bridesmaid, or Walking is Very Good for You. And this is the title of the section written by Lady Elaine Fairchild. Lady Elaine writes in this section, "My name is Lady Elaine Fairchild. I'm a professional bridesmaid and a famous model. I have appeared at the most fashionable weddings, and my picture has been on the cover of many smart magazines. In fact, I've posed often for well-known weekly journals, such as Truth is Stranger Than Fiction, and I am happy to say I have recently been chosen the permanent cover girl for that lovely monthly magazine, Is It Alive? My career keeps me so busy, for I must travel a good deal. There are not many professional bridesmaids like me, so many smart young girls hire me to brighten up their weddings. Hardly a day goes by that I am not paid to be in one big wedding or another. The reason for my fabulous success, I believe, is my imagination. I am considered very modest, but in all truthfulness, I must say that I do not look like an average girl, nor do I dress like the average. But of course, you can see this for yourself. My motto is, the American girl should use her imagination. I believe in being different. In fact, I've even made my own bridesmaid dress that I wear to every wedding. Isn't it lovely? When I wear this creation, I receive so many comments and so many people stare at me. But then, I'm used to that by now. There are too few faces like mine in this world. If people want to stare, I don't mind. Beauty is its own excuse for being, and I must share my beauty with the world. I don't like to brag, but not only am I beautiful, I am also extremely talented. Some people are talented singers, some are gifted dancers, some have a talent for painting. I have a talent for walking. I walk everywhere, very quickly. It takes me 2 hours to walk from New York City to San Francisco. I use the heel-to-toe method. I walk everywhere. It saves so much time. I am really quite a lovely sight, whizzing along on my talented, dainty feet, with my hair floating in the breeze. I hate to mention it, but isn't my hair beautiful? I do it myself. I don't believe in store preparations. I like to try my own ideas. Now, if you want your hair to look like mine, all you have to do is braid it very tightly, dip it in boiling oil, wrap it in ice cubes, pour mustache wax over it, and let it dry for 3 days. I'm sure you'll be surprised at the results. Your hair will look just like mine, you lucky creature. Being a model, a professional bridesmaid, and a walker is very hard work. so I found a lot of time savers for myself, and I'd like to pass a few on to you. I always say that if you have a problem that's really a problem, your problem should be my problem, because to me, no problem is really a problem. For instance, I was once a bridesmaid for an unusually unattractive girl, poor thing. She had long golden hair, bright blue eyes, and a clear complexion. She was such a contrast to me, and I'm sure she realized it. Everyone loves beauty, and that's why I'm asked to be in so many weddings. When I'm in a wedding, no one looks at the bride. Well, let's get back to this bride. Her name was Drusilla Popped Corn, and she was marrying Gordon Dishwater of the Minnesota Dishwaters, you know. I could see when I arrived from Chicago that morning that Drusilla was very upset. Her white dress had not arrived. Drussie, I said, you haven't hired a bridesmaid for nothing. Let your problem be my problem. No problem is really a problem, and when you have a problem, remember that. Well, Drussie cried and said that her dress had not arrived. They were to have sent it from New York, and it just hadn't come. Don't worry, I'll walk over to New York and get it for you. But you can't walk from Pittsburgh to New York, Drussie whimpered. Of course I can, I replied. I'll be back in 2 hours. And so off I went, heel toe, heel toe, heel toe. That's my walking method, you know. Thus, I saved the day for Drusilla Popped Corn Dishwater of the Minnesota Dishwaters, you know. Another experience I had, in the line of professional bridesmaid duty, was the time I was engaged to be a bridesmaid for Augusta June March Soup, a rather peculiar-looking girl, poor thing, with very black hair, shining black eyes, and a clear complexion. I don't think the American girl eats the right things these days to look like she does. Well, Augusta had picked the strangest wedding dress, white satin with a train. I told Augusta that this wasn't a very imaginative dress to wear. The American girl should use her imagination. I always say that. So I took this silly white satin dress and I dipped the sleeves in purple dye. Then I took a fried egg and streaked the front of the dress. I cut the train in 4 pieces, dyed one watermelon green, tramped on the other one with my muddy foot, size 3 1/4 shoe, of course, set one panel in a bucket of water, and spilled iodine on the other. Oh, such a dress, such a wedding, such comments. You have no idea what the people said when the bride came down the aisle. Oh, yes, and I also changed her veil a little. I made it into a bright green, blue, red, yellow plaid. Gorgeous, such imagination. I always say the American girl should use her imagination. Yes, the people are still talking about that wedding in Augusta's dress. And then there was Larcia Mee Mortipie's wedding. Such a wedding. I dressed them in such lovely colors, vermilion red and canary yellow and green. The bride, who was rather strange-looking, poor thing, had red hair, green eyes, and a clear complexion. The American girl must not eat the right things to look like she does. I dressed Larcia in deep purple with an orange veil. Such a bride. Such a wedding. Larcia married Mortimer Hookman, and they were a little worried about where to go on their honeymoon. I said to them, "You haven't hired a bridesmaid for nothing." And then I proceeded to tell them about the only place in the world to go on a honeymoon. Such a lovely place. Really, the garden spot of the entire world. Latrobe, Pennsylvania. They took my advice. I showed them my heel-toe walking method, and they walked to their honeymoon. I imagine you might be getting a little curious about my walking method. I conducted a class in walking method once, and I had a student named Judy Breadenbutter. This peculiar-looking girl, poor thing, had black hair, blue eyes, and a golden suntan. These American girls just don't eat the right things, I'm sure. Poor Judy just couldn't turn her right heel in and her left toes out. I sang to her. I believe in singing when I conduct the class. I've been told I have the most unusual voice. I sang, "Put your right heel in and your left toe out. Put your right toe in and your left heel out." I have a lot of rhythm in my singing too, you know. And all of a sudden, poor Judy fell flat on her face. These American girls just don't eat the right things these days. After 29 lessons, Judy's nose was broken and she had a black eye, but she walks beautifully. In fact, she walked to Florida last weekend. I got a lovely card from her. Speaking of what the American girl eats, you know I'm very particular about my diet. I always eat the same thing every day. It makes planning so much simpler when you're walking from state to state. I have a light breakfast of prune juice, prunes, and cottage cheese, and hot lemonade. My lunch is usually a prune sandwich with graham crackers, cottage cheese, salad, and hot lemonade. For dinner, I have prune soup, cottage cheese, rarebit, and hot lemonade. If you follow this diet, you'll certainly will come to look just like I do. I want you to know a few of my beauty secrets. All of the models in New York beg me for them. I have been told that I have the most unusual face in the whole world. but I'm very modest. I like to say that I have one of the most unusual faces in the world. The secret I am going to give you is asked for again and again, how to grow a wart on the end of your nose. This is a very simple thing to do, and one that gets wonderful results. If you follow these directions, your nose will never look the same. Take 2-day-old vegetable soup, 2 wet washcloths, used coffee grounds, 2 teaspoons of plaster of Paris, 1 tablespoon of rubber cement, 6 weeds, a dandelion, and a slice of corned beef. Mix them together to form a paste. Put the paste on your nose 6 inches thick. Let it stand for 3 days and 4 nights. This can be shortened to 2 days if there's a new moon. Peel off gently. A little skin may come with it too. But don't worry, the new wart will cover your nose nicely. While I was writing this, I received 2 new awards. I was voted Miss Eat an Apple Every Day and Miss See Your Dentist Twice a Year. I also received a commission to pose for the pictures of Beauty and the Beast. The girl who is to be the Beast is so strange looking, poor thing. She has curly brown hair and big brown eyes and a clear complexion. And so, remember this, walking is good for you and so are prunes. And be sure to use your imagination, girls. If you try hard enough and follow my advice, someday you may look like I do. And then, of course, this section is signed Lady Elaine Fairchild. As you flip through the next few pages in the book, there's a great drawing here, a great illustration of Daniel and X, and then an illustration of X on the opposite page. I'll try to include those as well in the blog post to go along with this particular podcast, so you can take a look at that artwork. And then comes one of the last main sections of the book, which is a section written by X the Owl. And as I mentioned, or I guess as Daniel Stripe and Tiger mentioned in the first podcast from this series, X the Owl was actually a pet of his originally. And Daniel touched a little bit on where X came from. And X goes on to write, "Well, Jonesy Carrot asked me to say something for the book everybody's writing, so I just thought I'd tell you about the happiest day of my life. That was when my friend and true tame tiger pal, Daniel S. Tiger, let me out of my cage at the county fair. Golly, that was neat, and I was just wishing some nice tiger or other would take me for his pet, and then it happened. And well, that's how it was. Golly, it was neat. And Daniel said to me, 'Escape!' And I said, 'Well, how about that?' And I flew out, and I've been his pet ever since, and now I live in a tree right next to Daniel's clock. And I have a real tutor who teaches me things like 2 comes after 1, and 3 comes after 2, and 4 comes after 3. And I like it because my school is right in my tree. And when I talk to Jonesy Carrot, I sit right in the trunk of my tree, and when I'm finished, I always ask her to please close my knot hole." And that pretty much brings us to the end of the book, with the exception of the last probably 6 or 7 pages, which shows some sheet music for a few of the songs from the show, including Why High, a counting song, a few songs in French, and then Goodnight God completes the book and rounds out the last page. The interesting thing is it looks like the sheet music, it doesn't look like, it's very clear that the sheet music is all handwritten. And if I'm not mistaken, it doesn't quite look exactly like Fred Rogers' normal handwriting that we've all come to recognize pretty easily. But I do believe this is his handwriting. If not, I'd be curious to know whose writing this is. But that rounds out the book. And then inside the back cover is another copy of that map of Calendar Land that was shared in the first segment from this series of podcasts. And then the back cover itself. So, again, I hope you've enjoyed getting a little bit of a glimpse inside this book by taking a listen to me read the different segments. I hope you've learned something. I definitely have learned something, a lot of things myself, about the characters and their histories and where they began. It's very interesting to hear things about X the Owl, where he started, things about King Friday's family and his childhood. I just found this book to be completely fascinating. Just to think it came from 1954, which, if you do the math there, is not quite 60 years old. So to have this in my hands and be able to share it with you is a great pleasure. Stay tuned for more podcasts, hopefully coming in the near future, and we'll get back to sharing some episodes on the blog in the next few days. And I hope you'll continue to make regular visits to the Neighborhood Archive.